Scripture this morning will come from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. I'm reading from the English Standard. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey.
That was a great response. I like that. I know we have many visitors with us and family members, and it's just we're tickled to see you guys, the people that used to live here, and then they've moved off, and we're just blessed to see a lot of familiar faces here today. We do have quite a few that are traveling, and we want to keep them in our prayers that they have a safe trip, and just want to wish you Merry Christmas, and I hope everybody has a great holiday and enjoys those memories, and we want to be mindful about those who may, you know, be struggling this time of year with the loss of loved ones and the memories that they have, and we pray that God and each one of us will put a spirit of joy and appreciation indeed for his son Jesus. And we pray that you will have a spirit of love for each other as we get into this time of the year. This morning, I wanted to tell you a little bit about a few things. And the main thing that I wanted to mention to you in our children's training class and also in the elementary school program, quite often we talk about the scene where Jesus is entering Jerusalem, and you remember the people have the palm fronds and they're laying their cloaks down on the ground for him to walk on, and they're shouting, Hosanna! Hosanna! Help us! Save us! And they call him the King of Israel. And we're going to study a little bit about that this morning. And if you notice from our photo here, this is what Jesus rides into Jerusalem on, a donkey. And no, this is not a self-portrait. And we're not at the Democratic Convention. But we're going to talk a little bit about the donkey's side of the story here. And I think we'll all be blessed by some of the things here that we can dig out of Scripture. But again, we're happy that you're here today. And, you know, we have donkeys are a very valuable animal that God created for us. And we don't see them so much at this time in our culture, but in the Middle East, the Mediterranean area, Latin America, you still see people using donkeys for maybe riding on short trips or to use as a pack animal. And I know some of you like Eeyore, the donkey. You remember Eeyore? But they're still very useful animals, and they were used quite a bit during Bible times. The Romans used them. The Egyptians used them to haul in gold and precious metals from Africa, other parts of Africa, into Egypt. It's been said that civilization came upon the back of donkeys. They're kind of like our trucks today. And they were ridden by ordinary people and used by ordinary people, but also by kings. But first thing I want to talk about is what are some characteristics of donkeys? Now, I've not been around too many donkeys. I suspect many of you have not been around donkeys much either. But in doing some research online, and I don't know if you know this, most of us do, that we have a person. He's not here today, but we have a person here, a member at Central, who has 18 donkeys. That's Dennis and Peggy Vonderfeck. In fact, a few years ago, they actually brought a couple of donkeys in for Vacation Bible School to let the children see them. But they have 18 of them. And I went to him and I asked him, you know, what is it about donkeys? You know, how do they behave? You know, why do you like them so much? So I've compiled a list here about some characteristics of donkeys that I found in research, but also in talking to Dennis. When we talk about characteristics of donkeys, the first thing in my mind I would think of and thought of was that they're stubborn. And you might think that too, you might have heard that. But Dennis says, they're not really stubborn, but they're cautious. They're not going to take chances. They're not going to cross the brook unless they feel like they're safe. They're not going to go down a certain path unless they know they're safe. So it's not so much they're stubborn, but they're cautious. And you know, has anybody ever been to the Grand Canyon? And you know, they have these where you can ride the donkeys down the canyon. You know, those steep walls and everything. I don't know if anybody's ever done that. I've not tried that yet. But there's a reason they use donkeys, because they're very sure-footed. I also found that they're intelligent. They have great memories. There have been cases where a donkey grew up in a certain place and was taken away, and 20 years later and came back, and they knew the path. They knew where they were at. And they're not easily startled like maybe horses are. So again, that's, you know, a good thing to know when you have your child or your wife riding on the donkey, and you know, you don't want an animal to be easily startled. And they're also strong for their weight and size. Proportionally, they can bear more weight than the horse can. So that's why they make an excellent pack animal. And you know, you've noticed from the old westerns, you know, you have this grizzled miner guy with the beard, and he's got his, you know, donkey with him, got him loaded up, and he's always talking to him and everything. But there's a reason for that. They're good in a lot of different environments, even desert environments, but in rock, steepy paths, they're a very sure-footed animal, so they're good for that. They also are gentle. And most of the donkeys that Dennis has had, he said they're what you call miniature donkeys. And he says they make great pets. So Perry, you need to get Banks a donkey and, you know, keep him out there. But they're really gentle and good with children. But they also, donkeys require a driver. So if you have your goods on the donkey, or you have your child or your wife riding on the donkey, you know, you're going to be guiding the donkey, walking alongside it. They're dependable that way. And also, donkeys are social. They're social animals. They do not like to be by themselves. They like to be with other donkeys. And that's why in some circumstances, they make good companion animals. In other words, they're good to put with a horse. They're good to put with goats. They kind of help each other to deal with stresses. So they're a very social animal. And as we look at them up here, the last thing characteristic, they're just cute. I mean, they're really cute animals, I think. But anyway, given the characteristics of donkeys and the history of donkeys, let's think about donkeys in the Bible. As I said before, they were used by ordinary people in travel, in moving goods, and in riding. But there's a little more to the symbolism of riding a donkey. They were also ridden by kings. In 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 33, here we see Solomon is riding his father's donkey into the temple area to be ordained as king of Israel. Now we might say, why wouldn't a king ride a horse? Why is he riding a donkey? Is that a sign of humility? Is it a sign of poverty? And I always thought that in my mind that, yeah, it probably was, but after studying this lesson, I've changed my mind. I've learned that riding a donkey was not necessarily a sign of humility, but it was a sign of peace. And this is why Solomon is not riding a horse to be ordained king, but he's riding a donkey, because in ancient times, riding a donkey meant that you were coming in peace, and it was also a sign of a treaty was about to be enacted or a covenant was about to be enacted. If a leader rode a horse into your village, it usually meant horses were a sign of war, not peace. So interesting that Solomon rode a donkey in the temple area. We also, we won't read these scriptures, but a donkey was used by Abraham in bringing Isaac and the sacrifice to that place. David, Solomon, Abigail rode donkeys. And something unique about a donkey is that, you know the two animals in the Bible that God allowed to speak? What was the first one? Garden of Eden. Serpent spoke. And what was the other animal? You remember Balaam's donkey? And very humorous situation there that, you know, the donkey speaking to Balaam that, you know, why are you beating me? I've done you good service and all this. And we'll not read that today, but it's an interesting study as well. But those are the only two instances in the Bible where an animal was allowed to speak by God. And then thinking about as Jesus was coming, did Joseph and Mary, when they were forced from Nazareth to travel to Bethlehem, an estimated distance, depending on how they went, 75, 80 miles, and Mary being great with child, did they ride a donkey? Luke chapter 2 doesn't say. But we know they made the trip, and we know that Mary was great with child. And even though we can't say for sure, I think in my mind I could maybe see that happening. Joseph guiding the donkey along with Mary sitting on it, and maybe they had another donkey for provision. So we don't know that for sure, but I can maybe in my mind see that happening. And what about the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem? There was no room for them in the inn, so they had to go into the stable, the barn. Were there animals there? More than likely. The Bible doesn't say. Were there donkeys present at the birth of Jesus? That's a possibility. He was laid in a manger. He was laid in a feeding trough. The animals may have been close by. And you know, back in the late 70s, I remember watching a TV show this time of year called Nestor the Long-Eared Donkey. Does anybody remember Nestor? And Joseph and Mary was on their trip to Bethlehem, and Mary started having some issues, and this little donkey comes to the rescue. So it's kind of a neat story. But we don't know that that happened. It's not in the Bible, but it's a neat story. But possibly, when Jesus was riding before his birth, he may have ridden on a donkey. And when he was born, there the animals in the stable, and there are possibility donkeys were there as well. The Bible doesn't say, but traditionally there have been paintings painted of Mary riding the donkey along with Joseph. And what about after Jesus was born and the King Herod tried to search for him and kill him? And you remember Jesus and Joseph and Mary had to flee to Egypt to escape the wrath of Herod. Did they ride a donkey down into Egypt? Did they ride a donkey back from Egypt? Possibly. But the next point we'll make here is that all four gospel writers do give an account, and this is the account we know of Jesus riding on a donkey. You know, I envision Jesus walked most places, that he didn't ride most places. But in this circumstance, all four gospel writers given us the account, as prophesied in the verse that was read in Zechariah, that Jesus the King would enter Zion on the back of a donkey. And you remember what we mentioned earlier, that this is a symbol of peace. Jesus did not ride in on a war horse with a sword pulled, but he was bringing peace. So let's analyze a couple of the gospel writers here, this account of Jesus entering Jerusalem. John gives us the most brief instance here. He says that Jesus got a donkey, got a young donkey, and rode into Jerusalem, and then we see the fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy. That's found in John chapter 12, verse 12. And then Mark and Luke give us more details. And let's look first at Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 28. Luke chapter 19, verse 28. And when he had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass as he drew near Bethpage and Bethany at the mount called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go to the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here." So here we see Jesus. John just says Jesus got a donkey, a young donkey. Here Luke is saying Jesus sent two disciples to go get a donkey. We're not told who the two disciples were. And another interesting thing about the donkey they were to get was this donkey, no one had ever ridden it before. No one had ever sat on it before. And it was tied, and they were going to loose the donkey and take it with them. Verse 31, and Jesus tells them, "If anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you are to say to him, because the Lord has need of it." And so those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, "Why are you loosing the colt?" And they said, "The Lord has need of him." And then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as they went their way, many spread their clothes on the road, and as they were drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. And then verse 38 says, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory to the highest." So here we see two disciples are sent to get this colt. What is a colt? A colt is a young male donkey under the age of one. And here Luke says, you know, the disciples don't know who they're borrowing this from. And the owners of the donkey, you know, do you think they minded having their property stolen? It's kind of like we would park our car on the edge of the driveway by the street and leave it running with all four doors open, you know, just waiting for someone to take. Let's look over at Mark chapter 11. And Mark gives us, the stories are pretty much verbatim, but Mark gives us just an added detail here. We're in Mark chapter 11, starting in verse 1. And here's how Mark terms the account. Now, when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. Luke told us that as well. And then he said, go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied. So again, a young male donkey here, on which no one has ever ridden or sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it, and immediately he will send it here. And this is what Mark adds in verse 4. So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. Verse 5, and some of those who stood there said to them, what are you doing, loosening the colt? And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded, and so here it is, the owner of the colt, just let them have it. Wonder why. And then it talks about Jesus rides into Jerusalem and the palm. We won't reread that. It's the same. But Mark gives us that detail that was tied outside by a door on the street. In other words, it would stand out. It would be easy to see, easy to get to. And then Matthew also gives us account. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse 1. Now, Matthew is going to give us a few more details. So let's read those first few verses together. Matthew 21, verse 1. And when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus, again, he sends two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. So here we see on Matthew's account, there's not just the young donkey tied up, but there's another donkey. And he refers to her, to the donkey as being a her. So possibly this is the young colt's mother. So we have mother donkey and son donkey here that are tied together. And then verse 3 says, if anyone says anything to you, you shall say the Lord has need of them. And all this was done, Matthew says, that might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. And his disciples went and did this. So here we have the details. There's not just one donkey, but there's two. And you remember I told you that donkeys like to be together. They don't like to be alone. And here maybe this was a humane way that they would take both animals, even though Jesus may just needed to ride on one. But here this young donkey that had never been ridden before. And what do you think might happen if we tried to ride a donkey that was young and had never been ridden before? You think it might buck a little bit? You think it might sort of get upset a little bit with us? But here in Scripture, there's no account. It looks like the donkey did his job. But being with its mother, being with another donkey, would help calm the donkey. And what about when they went into the city? You remember what was happening? There was shouting going on and praising going on. And the donkey would be walking on people's coats, and the palm branches were waving, you know, and here's this young donkey, never been ridden before. You know, that was somewhat miraculous, I think, that the donkey apparently was calm enough to withstand the crowds and the noise and the shouting and being ridden on by Jesus. Another point, you know, why did Jesus not walk? You know, from Bethany to Jerusalem was about 2 miles, and they were up, you know, on the Mount of Olives. There would be a descent into the Kidron Valley, and then an ascent into Jerusalem, but it was very rocky, maybe steep in places. But we know that Jesus rode the donkey to fulfill all prophecy, and the prophecy in Zechariah was indeed fulfilled at this time. And the main point is that Jesus rode the donkey as a symbol of bringing peace and hope and love and a symbol of a new covenant. He did not go riding on a horse, the symbol of war. That donkey was special. He was set apart for the Lord's work. And I wonder today, Jesus would begin his redemptive work, you know, after this occasion. So what lessons can we learn from the donkey? Well, I've listed a few, and then the lesson will be yours. Number one, it builds our belief in Jesus Christ. It builds our faith that Jesus is indeed the Messiah, the Christ that was foretold by the prophets. And we see all those instances that Jesus fits the bill. He is our Savior. Number two, the disciples were told by Jesus to go get the donkeys. And you know, it appears that they went even though they may have had reservations about, you know, are they going to think we're stealing this donkey? Are we doing something wrong by doing this? How will we know where it's at? They trusted Jesus. And I wonder, do we obey Christ like that when we're called to do so? Even though we may not understand what the purpose of what we're doing may be, or we may not always see the end result of it, but are we like these two disciples? Are we willing to obey? Are we willing to go? Number three, the owner of the donkeys. You know, they owned that donkey, and they had a right to say, why are you taking my property? Why are you taking them? But yet they allowed it. When the disciples told them what? The Lord needed them. And I wonder, are we willing to sacrifice for the Lord? Are we willing to sacrifice what we have for His honor and glory, for the work of His church? Are we willing to give and not question to each other? Do we have that attitude that if the Lord needs it, if the Lord asks it, that we'll be willing to serve? Number four, the young donkey was tied along with his mother, but he was willing to be loosed. He was willing to be guided by Jesus and his disciples to Jerusalem. Even though it might have been stressful for the donkey. And I might ask today, are we willing to be loosed? You know, the world wants to tie us down. The world wants to tell us we can't do that. The world wants to tell us we can't accomplish that. The world wants to tie us down to make us not useful. And sometimes we let our own pride and prejudices, our anxiety, our fear, our selfishness, and our sins keep us tied down so that we cannot be loosed and used by the Master. Are we willing to let Jesus loose us? Loose us from our sins, loose us from our past, and to be useful in His kingdom. 1 Timothy 1, chapter 7 says, God has not called us to fear, but called us for good works in His kingdom. And then Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, we're to bear each other's burdens. And we each have a burden to bear, just like the donkey did. And we don't see anywhere where the donkey complained. that two-mile walk, even though it might have been rocky and steep. He didn't complain about our Savior being on its back, but the donkey bore the burden. And I wonder, no matter how steep the road may get for us in life, or how rocky the road is, or what dangers may lay around the next corner, we don't want to be easily startled, but we want to put our hope, our faith and trust in who's guiding us. Who has the reins in our life? Is it Jesus, or are we trying to guide ourselves? So today we praise the King born. We praise His life. We praise His work. We praise His teachings and we learn from them. We praise His death, burial, and resurrection, and we celebrate that just like Danny said. But, you know, there's some lessons to learn from this little young donkey. And we want God to guide our lives. And we want to bear our burdens. And we want to bear each other's burdens. For they are not hard, God tells us, Jesus tells us. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Today, if you have need, we're going to have everyone stand here in just a minute to give the invitation, which is open at all times, but we have an opportunity today. If you need the prayers of the church, we'll be glad to pray with you. If you need to confess sin and make it right with God here in our presence, you're welcome to do that today. Let God guide you. If you've never obeyed the gospel, be loosed this morning. Get up and don't let the world keep you tied down any farther, but let God make you who you really need to be. That profitable servant, because we know we're all headed to heaven. We know the trail ends. We'll cast our burdens upon the Lord one day, and we'll be with Him forever and ever in heaven. So please come as we extend the invitation.